have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Of me. Ooh. There is sunshine on the other side of rain. Sometimes you gotta go through to get to what God has in store for you. There is joy on the other side of pain. I know it feels dark right now and you can't seem to find your way. Storms are coming strong. Your pain, and there is joy on the other side of pain, and there is sunshine on the other side of rain. Sometimes you gotta go through to get to what God has in store for you. There is joy on the other side of pain. I remember the time when I wanted to give up and die. Everything was going wrong. And I didn't know why. Sometimes you gotta go through what you don't wanna go through. There's a blessing waiting for you on the other side. Help me say.
Hello there, my brother. How you doing?
I'm excellent. How are you today?
I'm good. I can't complain. I don't see. Is Apostle Smith, is he okay?
I think he's having trouble with that phone he has personally.
Okay.
Because this is so not like him to not be here. Let me see if I can attach him. Let me see if I can attach him. Because this is not like him. Who's on? Who do we have on at this moment?
Is this you and I right now?
Wow, you were laughing with somebody. I thought there was somebody else on.
No.
Wow. Hold on a minute. Let me see where I can find him. Let's see what's going on. All right. Let's find him. I'm amazed Apostle Whitlow just dropped off the face of the earth. I don't know what's going on with that. Okay. Still haven't quite found him yet. I got a good idea where he is. I got to take him out of my phone and re-put him back in my phone because I keep getting his FaceTime. I don't want his FaceTime video. I want... We'll give him a couple of seconds, and let's see what happens. In the meantime, how was your day?
I can't complain. It's been a good day. As I say, it's taking one day at a time.
Do you want to receive Jesus? You might want to start your show. Kimmy Kim's on the line. I've connected you directly to the Elations, the blog talk. Did you forget your show was on, or were you having trouble getting in?
It's time for it already.
It's time for your show already.
Oh, man.
15 minutes past time. Well, Kimmy Kim, I'm going to hang them up, play one more song, call in.
Yeah, Kimmy Kim, fresh and hot. I'm coming right now. I'm sitting here thinking.
Okay, no problem.
About 8 o'clock.
Just put one more song on. He should be on by the time your song finished playing.
Yeah, all right. Let me hang up.
All right.
All righty.
Oh, sweet home.
not 99.5. I'm not going part of the way, but I'm going all the way. Well, it's Tuesday night. It's after the 10 o'clock hour. You must be listening at The Voice with Apostle Vincent L. Smith as your host. And we're so glad to know my mind is made up to go all the way in Jesus. And I'm telling you, you ought to make up your mind, not just to make it to tomorrow, but to make it to the very end and say, I'm going all the way. And you got to know all the way is not making it to the end. I'm going to make it to heaven and give God the praise and the glory for being there and being with him, going all the way. I thank God for you tonight. Let me check real quick. Let's see who else may have better than mine to go all the way. And I know my producer is here tonight. Amen. Give it, Kim. Come on and say hello and tell them how you're going all the way.
I'm going all the way because I come too far to turn back.
All right. She's going all the way because her brakes don't work. She says she's going all the way. Hallelujah. Amen. I hear the voice of one bishop-elect, Ernest Richard. Amen. Come on, tell him hello and how you're going all the way.
Well, first of all, laugh at Dr. Kibby Kim. She says she's going all the way. Not all the way. All the way. She's going ghetto. But that's quite all right.
Yeah,
as long as you get there. That's all that counts.
I'm not going to go there with you. I didn't say all the way. I said all the way.
You said all the way.
Oh, my goodness.
All the way. All the way.
She was trying to let everybody know she's not a white girl on the line. That's all.
I'm not ghetto. That's the way I talk.
She's going all the way. Anyway, we bless God for this opportunity and chance to be here. And if I'm not going all the way, then I'm doing something wrong here. I need to find something that I'm going to do and go all the way with it. Anyway, let's move forward.
Yes,
amen.
Let me see. Are any others tuning in tonight? Amen. Let's go to College Park. Is Apostle Flight, are you here? Or are you on the kitty rest pillow? All right. I guess she's taking, amen, the Sleeping Beauty rest tonight. All right. What about Indianapolis, Indiana? Pastor Henderson, are you here? All right, I guess they almost ready to collect the dry corn out there. So she had to go check on that. Amen. The Apostle Irvin Whitlow. Amen. Down there in Atlanta. Are you with us tonight? All right. I guess he's somewhere making peach pies tonight. So we'll leave him alone. Amen. All right. Is there anybody? Is Chanel here yet tonight?
I don't think she's on tonight. She's, I think she's helping her mom with something.
Okay. Well, since Chanel may be with us later, if she don't, she's doing a greater work on tonight. And the work of love is always
amen.
Greater than just tuning in. She's helping mama. That got to be a work of love. And so we thank God tonight. But we're getting ready. Sorry for the time. I was sitting here with my treasure of church, and we just having a good time. I didn't realize that it got 10 o'clock already. But we're going to go on in Jesus' name and discuss what we need to discuss. And I hope we bless your spirit and cause you to see things in a different light. Amen. Bishop Elect, give us prayer. Sister Kimmy, find Romans chapter 6.
Amen. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the entrance of your word, which always brings light. God bless you for this another day that you've allowed us to see. If it had not been for your tender mercy and your grace, God, where would we be? Now, Lord, as we prepare to get ready to go into tonight's lesson, into the word, we ask that you would open down the storehouse, open the window of heaven and pour out the blessing that we may be able to receive, that we may be able to feast in the midst of whatever it is that we need to deal with. God, we're asking you to take total charge and control over this service, over this particular podcast, over the airwaves. Let no hurt, harm, danger come to anyone verbally that may be listening, and all who may be paying attention, God, let this word reach and penetrate the very core of their being. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Before we have the scripture read and get in our discussion, let me say to everyone, this Sunday, one of the greatest days of the year, they call it Mother's Day. On May the 8th will be Mother's Day. Amen. All around the country. Amen. But Sunday at 4 p.m., we're having a great Mother's Day celebration. Amen. And a musical will be happening here at 125 Dixon Avenue in the city of New Haven, Connecticut. And we're going to have, from Rocky Mount, North Carolina, a group called Resurrection. Now, you know they got to be bad with a name like that. Amen. And we're also going to have America's number one group for youth singers in the house on Sunday. They just won a Stella last year for being the number one youth group in America, a group called Fire out of Newark, New Jersey. Amen. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a time up in here. And then several of the Connecticut groups have taken on to be here Sunday. You don't want to miss it. It's going to start at 4 p.m. And I'm telling you now, be here, be here, be here. Buy your ticket for $20. 25 at the door if you don't catch me in advance. All right. Well, so you better get with me this week. $20 is all the ticket cost. But if you wait till Sunday and come strolling up in here, you better come strolling with five more dollars, because it's going to be $25 for you at the door. I'm not going to have nobody outside. So you can get a $20 ticket. I don't play that. Amen. The Lord bless you. See you on Sunday. All right, Sister Kim, down from 1 to 14, we're going to read that much tonight, but we'll probably only get as far as maybe verse 5, 6, or 7 in our discussion tonight. But go ahead and read from verse 1 to 14.
Romans chapter 6, 1 through 14.
Yes, do you have an Amplified?
No, I have a King James version.
Oh, you get ready to read from the King James? Bishop Richard,
okay.
if you would look up this scripture in your Amplified version.
It will be impossible. It's impossible, sir, as I am driving. I would be able to look up. Yeah,
you want
it
the
would
Amplifier?
Be very difficult.
I could change it. Okay.
Yes, I want to amplify. After you deal with me, well, I tell you what we're going to do. Read the King James, and then we'll study from the Amplified. So you can hold off for a minute and go ahead and read.
All right. Okay. It reads, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin may be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ been raised from the dead, died no more. Death had no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead, indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace.
Amen. At verse 14?
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much for being our reader tonight. Go ahead and find the Amplified version, and we're going to get into this tonight. Our subject tonight is, and you are praying for what? Our subject tonight, and you are praying for what? Let me start by saying tonight that I have heard it so much in the statement of the saints in the last year until I thought I better do talk about it tonight. They said, remember in your prayers daily, always ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. Well, we're going to get into it tonight. I'm not going to say what I'll get ready to say. That's too much of a lesson. But we'll get into it tonight. All right, you got that Amplified version now?
Yes.
All right, let's start with verse 1.
Okay, what shall we say to all this? Shall we continue on in sin and practice sin as it happens so that
We're going to deal verse by verse. We're going to deal verse by verse.
Right, I'm not done with it. I'm still on verse 1.
Oh, I'm sorry. It sounded like you were reading 2 verses.
No, I'm reading the parentheses. Okay, what shall we say to all this? Should we continue in sin and practice sin as a habit so that God's grace may increase and overflow? That is verse 1.
All right, well, let's say this. It asks us the question straight out, no if, and, or but. It says, shall you continue, and I like that word, shall you continue in sin that grace may abound? It said, not so. Now, if it says, what does it mean, shall sin continue? Somebody talk to me about that. What does it mean, shall sin continue?
Well, I'm listening to what she just read, and if I recall the Amplified, it says, shall we continue? How does that say again, Dr. Kimmy? And I heard the word practice.
So what shall we say to all of this? Should we continue in sin and practice sin as a habit so
all right,
that
stop right
grace
there for
may
a minute. I want to stop there. Shall we continue in sin and practice sin? Now, in order for you to be good at something, you have to practice. A basketball player, Michael Jordan, did not become one of the great basketball players of our time if he did not take time to practice. I could name Dr. J, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the list goes on and on and on and on. We know about the great, he's a Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback right now, Tom Brady, one time with the New England Patriots. Practice. The key word I'm coming in on here is the word practice. And I found out some time ago that the Greek terminology there for that word practice is to put into action with intent to perfect. Think about that. Why are we practicing sin? Why are we trying to perfect sin? That's like trying to perfect disease. Why are we doing it? Shall we continue? And it says that grace may abound. Thank God for grace. I don't want to go too far because just hanging out in that first segment right there, talking about continuing in sin and practicing sin as if we want sin to be perfected in us. I don't want sin perfected in me. Anyway,
okay,
let me stop right there.
Let me ask this question off of those two words, continue and practice. Is that verse saying to us, why are you going after sin?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. Why are we going after it?
Why are we going after sin? What? And here's another good question. What is so attractive about sin that you're going after it?
I mean, we could go so many different ways that people would probably give you these excuses. Let's take some common stuff that we seem to be dealing with for the body of Christ. Why?
And let me say this before Bishop even go deeper. Let me say it right now. Don't you hang up your TikTok. Don't you cut off your phone. Don't you dare shut your computer down, your FaceTime, or whatever you're doing. Amen. All of you on Snicker, all of you on all devices that is hooked into this podcast, don't you go nowhere tonight. Oh, you got to stay away from sin. Go ahead, Bishop.
Well, basically what I started to say is let's take something common. We often talk about sexual sins, whether it's adultery for a married man and or a woman or fornication. We do it because it feels good. It's daring. It's edgy. It kind of puts us in a position where we feel like we have a level of dominance. And we said this, I think, last week, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm just going to touch it. James talks about it in detail. We have to understand that when lust is conceived, it'll bring forth sin. It's the equivalent of a fisherman going into a lake looking for bass. He knows he's got to use the right type of lure or the right type of bait. If he's going to catch bass, he's got to get the attention of that bass with that bait, and he may have to cast out multiple times to get that bass's attention. And all that bass sees is that tasty morsel, whether it's a smaller fish, a worm, or a frog, or whatever it is, and that bass sees it, and all he thinks in his mind is, oh, man, there's dinner. Little does that bass know that underneath that frog, that worm, that little fish, there is a deadly hook that's going to reel him to his death. And we don't pay attention to sin. Sin has a deadly hook that's waiting to reel you to your death. The enemy will keep dangling something in front of you, and the enemy will keep throwing it in front of you, whether it was an old boyfriend or an old girlfriend with her super curvaceous self, her little chocolate skin, her beautiful lips and them beautiful eyes. I mean, you're sitting there looking at her. You know, she looked good back in high school, but she looked even better now. And there's your wife over there praying in the closet, just talking to God about whatever's going on. The next thing you know, you done hooked up with that sister, or you done hooked up with that brother. Oh, boy. Now what? Now what? And you liked it. Let's just be honest. You liked it. Ain't no sense in lying about it. It was good. You know it was good. Or in your mind, you thought it was good. And so you want to go back in for another tasty morsel. And so you get back together with him or her, and you go at it again. Next thing you know, you find yourself entangled in the web of sin through adultery and or fornication, whatever the case might be. And you're practicing it, continuing to do it. Know it's wrong. Know it breaks God's heart while you're doing it. But yet still, you keep telling yourself that I can't seem to break away. I can't seem to get away. Every time I walk away, I go back. I got to get just a little bit more. Just one more time. Just one more time. Just one more time. That's the deadly hook. The Bible goes down and says, James says, sin, when it is finished, will bring forth death. Separation from God. Ultimate demise of your physical body. And eternal torment. That's what you're looking forward to as you practice your sin. I know I don't want to go too deep or too much further because there are other scriptures I want to throw in there. I'm going to hold Romans 6:23 for just a minute. I don't know who's rattling like that, but you're making too much noise for the podcast.
Now, I want to say something. I want to say something in that scenario you just gave. Notice if you are messing up is a thing. Well, no, I don't even want to talk about that yet. The first thing I want to say is that you talked about lust. And that if people will really look up the word lust in a spiritual sense, is talking about more than a desirable sex.
Uh-huh.
It's talking about
craving.
It's talking about a person allowing their spirit, even their flesh, to become so attracted to a certain thing that they start doing what's off and think that doing what's right.
Amen.
It's a lust. It's an insatiable desire. Mm-hmm. It is something within that need to be cut down, cut off, cut away, but you keep letting it play with you over and over.
You know what I like
all
about
right.
I don't know if you've read it in the Message Bible, but it talks about lust, and it calls it greedy longings of the mind. Wow. Greedy longings of the mind. When you find yourself lusting after something, someone, or whatever the case may be, it's because in your mind, like that little Pepsi commercial, you got to have it. You think you got to have it anyway. That's all I wanted to ask.
Yes, all right, just can't read verse number 2.
Okay, and it reads, certainly not. How can we, the very ones who died to sin, continue to live in it any longer? That's number 2.
All right.
Wait a
minute. It says certainly not. If you are wrapped up and continuing and practicing, is that that's not the way you should be. It says certainly not. Let's say that again. Certainly not. That's not the way you should be. That's not the way things should be happening. Because why? Jesus died. Mm-hmm. But when he died, he wasn't full of sin. He died for sin.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Let me say that again. When he died, he was not full of sin. He died for sin.
For sin.
Can I add something to that?
If he died for sin, what are you still doing in sin? Uh-oh.
Well, you know what, and you brought up the subject or the phrase, he died for our sin. Jesus was literally attacked by sin and engulfed by sin, literally held prisoner by sin for a period of time until he got down into hell, broke loose from sin, preached his initial sermon, took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and made his way back and led captivity captive. You talked about that about several weeks ago. And see, I could tie that into here when we talk about how can we who have died to sin, we nailed sin to the cross when we gave God our yes. We nailed sin to the cross when we did a 360 and turned completely around from the fires of hell. Somebody snatched us out of the fires of hell. When we gave that yes, that means that the old man, the old nature, the way we used to be, has now been nailed to the cross of Christ. He who knew no sin, as the scripture says, became sin, literally became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So if we're dead to sin, why are we still trying to practice or put into practice the work of sin? I don't get it. But see, I'm not going to sit there and play like a Bible scholar, because the truth of the matter, Apostle, is this. We all fall short of the glory of God. But at the same time, when we realize we've fallen short, and I don't want to jump the gun because I know you probably got some other stuff coming. When we find ourselves falling short, are we supposed to keep wallowing in that mess?
Well, I'm going to ask you like this to help the people of God. Not the Bible, but history tells me this. Only a pig like to get clean to get back in the mud.
Exactly.
Yes, I said pig because that's the nature. Only a pig will let you spray them down, wash them down, get them all nice and clean and pretty looking. Even will let you spray perfume and cologne on them. And when you turn your back, we're going to jump right back in the mud.
Sure
What difference does that make? And there's some people that live their life like that. God doesn't set them free from drugs. God doesn't set them free from alcohol. God doesn't set them free from sex. God doesn't set them free from lying. And they get washed and clean for a little while. And the next thing you know, they done jumped in the mud again. They doing drugs again. They lying again. They having sex again. They doing this again. I'm going to leave it right there because I got a statement I was getting ready to make. But I got to talk a little more before I get in that statement. Sister Kimmy Kim, go ahead and read us the next verse.
Okay. Number three, or are you ignorant of the fact that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death?
Let's talk about that for a few minutes.
Now, we're going to talk about it a few minutes, but the first question is, it asks, are you ignorant?
Uh-huh.
there's some kind of learning problem going on? Are you ignorant? You don't know no
better. Well, as we say in the ghetto, ignorant. You ignorant?
Ignorant.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
Everybody's asking us the straight-out question. Have you not learned better yet? That's what ignorance is. Ignorance means you haven't caught on. You haven't caught on yet to what's being taught. Ignorance and retardation goes together.
Think about that.
Retardation doesn't mean a person can't get it. It means they slow about getting it.
That's right.
And those of you that are dealing in ignorance spiritually really is retardation. It's not that you can't learn. You just haven't learned. And some of y'all are not trying to learn because you're on your way to somebody's house. Now you ain't married to. And you know what y'all get ready to do. You know already what y'all get ready to do. You claim you get together tonight. You claim you get together tonight to watch a nice new DVD. But see, I want to tell you, DVD means dick for child of dick. Lord have mercy.
Oh, Lord. Bracing ears here.
Police, you got two kids. Talk about some ears.
And the bad, thing about it is the new video that y'all get ready to watch, which you know is going to lead you into something wrong, is called X, double X, triple X. What kind of movie is that?
Wow.
The DVD you get ready to watch is because you're sitting there side by side, and as soon as the love scene come on, now you, oh, let's try that. No! Hold it. Stop. Don't do that. But you know what? Now, let me say this. I got to digress for a split second. I mean, and Paul asking this question, are we ignorant of the fact that we've been baptized into Christ? Some people fail to understand the significance of the spiritual baptism, and then they really miss the point with the water baptism. I'll share this with you just so you know. I know of an individual that was baptized because I actually baptized that individual a number of years ago. And I just learned that this individual got baptized again this past Sunday.
No, oh, wow.
Apparently they didn't learn the significance of baptism the first time.
Oh, come on, Bishop. Don't say it like that, Bishop. Say it the real way.
Can you bring me mine?
You just found out how ignorant that person is.
Well, yeah, that too. But I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. And the reason why I'm doing that is because she's not by herself, but there are thousands just like her. People get baptized 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 times. Why? You never understood the significance. And everybody that's been in church for any number of years, if you've been to a seminary or cemetery, whichever one you went to, I'm not sure which one you did. I like to prefer that you did a seminary. You learned that baptism in and of itself is an outward symbol of an inward truth. This is what Paul is talking about when he says, are you ignorant? Are you unlearned in the fact that you were baptized into Christ? When you surrendered your mind, heart, soul, and spirit to the Lord Jesus Christ, you were literally submerged in him. Now, I know the last verse in this particular chapter, we haven't gotten to it yet, but you were literally clothed with the nature of Christ. So why are you trying to wear righteousness and practice sin? That don't look right. That's like a fountain spouting both warm and cold water at the same time, salt and fresh water, all at the same time. I'm sorry. I mean, okay, I'm trying to behave myself a little bit, just a little bit. What you got to say, Dr. Robinson? I know you got something.
You got anything to say, Kimmy Kim?
Well, I just want to say I concur. Some people don't take that baptism seriously. And so when you don't, it tends to not be a meaning for you. And so what happens? You don't take it seriously. So it's very important that, like you say, that we take it seriously because we are under, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and our life should be exactly like him. And so I feel you on that. I really believe that baptism, water baptism, when you do it in the spirit, it creates a new creature. You're no longer that person anymore. And some people, you're right, they don't take it seriously. And I think that's sad. So that is my input. And we do have Chanel on. And we also have some more callers on who would like to come on and say hello.
All right, come on in and say hello so we can get back to our discussion.
Okay, this is Marva. I would like to, I guess, give comments, if I may. I think the primary issue is one of discipleship. That's number one. Number two, although we have water baptism, it's symbolic. It's not that you're going to go down in the water. Although we sing that song, I came up and my hands were new, my feet were too. Your mind is not going to be renewed unless you are reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, at least reading the Word of God, and then applying. In the epistles, Paul gives instruction about what to put on, what to put off. So I guess the word ignorant, just so that people are not offended by that, because sometimes the people who need the help the most to come out of and desire to come out of don't know how to, because, again, it's an issue of discipleship. So sometimes there is a place for grace and mercy, but not so that you continue in sin, but more from a point of understanding that our brothers and sisters have a weakness. It doesn't mean to excuse that weakness, but those that are more mature should be able to walk alongside of them to help pull them up without falling down. So when I mean discipleship, it's relatively easy to say, don't do this, don't commit fornication, don't commit adultery, but I don't want to say but. However, to break that down so that people practically understand, you shouldn't, like the example was given about movies. So to help people understand why it's not beneficial for them to watch movies that have sexual content or listen to music that way. Back in the day, it was easy to say, don't do this, don't do that, but actually that piques people's curiosity and sometimes creates a desire for them to want to do that sin when you harp on it. So, but for people to understand, I used to give an illustration to youth of a flower. So in the scripture in Corinthians, it speaks of where it says to flee fornication, and it says that when people come together, they are joined. So to help people understand that it's not just a just a casual act, or it's just, even though they may find pleasure, they're actually being joined together. And so when people, in this case, because the discussion seems to have centered around sexual sin, when people come together in sexual sin, it's not just that one individual, man and woman, okay, but it's whoever they have been with, all their partners coming in that same with Christ. As you read the scripture in Corinthians, because the Holy Spirit is abiding in the believer. So all that release is actually being released on the Holy Spirit, as you're being joined together. So it's you, that individual, all the other partners. And then the other analogy that I used to give people, because it becomes an issue of identity for people, there is a lack of training or teaching on righteousness. People haven't, they don't understand righteousness. They have not accepted, or they're not even aware that they are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So they're living one foot in the new man, one foot in the old man, saying they are redeemed but living an unredeemed life because they don't understand righteousness. So you don't become a new creature according to scripture. It's not when you're baptized. It's on the profession of faith and the belief in your heart, right, that God raised Christ Jesus from the dead.
Can I respond to that for a minute? I know, Marvin, sure. You're putting an awful lot out there because you've got about 9 points out there at the moment, okay? So let's tackle them one at a time. No. I know this is Apostle Smith's show. I'm Bishop-elect Ernest Richard. You got 9 points out there. And I like what you said, and it's wonderful for what you said. But we have to go, let's go back to square one, A number one. Paul asked the question in verse 2 of chapter 6, can we be ignorant? See, first and foremost, if you're going to be in the army of the Lord, we got to understand that the enemy can and will at any point in time use anybody he wants to attack. The word ignorant does not mean that you're being derogatory. It just means you're simply unlearned. You're not aware. And I believe that you know that already, so I'm not going to insult your intelligence with answering that question. Now,
yes,
what we're talking about.
Yes, I do know that, but for...
I'm not going to insult you. Let me just finish this.
I
want to get to your first point.
No, okay. I'm not insulted. I actually am making the comment.
I know, you are. I'm listening.
Immature, weak Christians and unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
And so
and I'm getting to that.
Who is an unbeliever or who is weak in the faith,
listen,
even
I'm
though
getting
they may
that.
Intellectually know that, that would be going around in their mind. So that clarification is important. Okay.
And I'm trying to bring that in. Politely, I'm just simply saying to the weaker Christian, I know they're stumbling, they're trying, and I use this analogy in services all the time. To the person that first becomes born again, I have to make them understand that there may be some mistakes made along the way. And there's a difference between a mistake and something that you practice as a habit. You follow what I'm saying? A person that knows that it's...
I agree.
Yeah. And so after a certain amount of time, a baby does not come out of its mother's womb, go into a kitchen, and cook an 8-course meal. That baby is reliant upon its mother to feed it, to clothe it, to take care of business until it comes to a point where it learns how to eventually crawl. But in the process of that baby getting to the point where they walk, I'm not going to go through the whole process, but you know how that works. I mean, you've seen children grow. You may have children yourself. So I'm preaching to the choir on that one. The bottom line is this. As you mature in Christ, Paul said it best on one occasion. When I was a child, I spake like a child. I acted like a child. I thought like a child. But when I became a man, when I matured, when I started growing up, when I started coming to the understanding and the knowledge, to the weaker state, I'm not saying that you don't, you won't eventually grow up. You will. But you have to come to a point and place where you make a decision to be baptized into Jesus Christ. Water baptism is just a, like you said earlier. We said it, I said it, and then you said it behind me. Water baptism is just an outward symbol of an inward truth. The inward truth is you take on the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know, that we're new creatures in Christ. Old things, old practices, old habits have passed away and all things become new. They may not die, but they are passed away. Now, if they resurrect, it's only because you resurrect them. To the saint or to the immature believer that is struggling with whether it's alcohol, sex, whatever the case may be, if you're struggling with it, there comes a time when you have to make up in your mind that you are going to let it go and let somebody help you do that. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ wants us, when he talks about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, because I might be going through something. How can I not come find you and share with you what's going on with me? I mean, I got to share it with you so we can pray about it, so we can talk about it, so I can be accountable to you about what's going on, so that I can break this habit and eventually walk away from it. The Bible clearly says in Romans, they who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And that means we put up with them until they grow up. That's what we're supposed to do. That's all I was going to add to what you just said. I think I covered everything that you just talked about.
Yeah, but I think
I hope
the
I did.
Key is in discipleship.
It's always in discipleship. We'll always be.
Yeah. And it's a part of discipling, of course, is understanding. The reason I'm saying is that my bishop in Boston, when I lived in Boston, Bishop Smith, I remember one day he said to me, because we were having this dialogue, we were doing things with the youth, and unfortunately, many of the youth and also adults were being challenged in different areas.
Mm-hmm.
So he posed the question to me. He said, Sister Marva, how is it that people who have been living a certain way for all these years are just going to stop? And I was responsive, like, you know, almost like it's, well, to me, it is easy. That's not my issue, right? But to someone who has, one, believed the lies, has been a part of the culture, which they thought was normal, all those things have to be made plain to them, that their eyes have to become open to that. A society that has said it, and now an issue would be when you have so many people who would be considered to be seasoned saints, those in ministry that have fallen in that very area or been found in a position that is contrary to what Scripture says, for some people, they have to walk through that. Is that an excuse? Absolutely, it is not an excuse. It's not. Hold on one second.
You're listening to the voice with Apostle Vincent L. Smith. Apostle, are you there while she holds on for a minute? This is an actual radio show, folks. You still there, Apostle?
Hold on one second, please.
Okay.
He dropped off.
Radio.
He's dropped.
Yeah, okay,
he's
well,
dropped.
He'll come back. It's actually a radio show, so to hold on for a second really doesn't work. We have to keep pressing forward with all due respect. I understand what's being said.
I apologize to you for that.
It's no problem at all. I mean, like I said, this is an actual radio show and a discussion on live. It's on radio, and folk are listening to you as we speak. So
right, and
let's
move.
No. We're going to keep it moving. We're going to just keep it moving.
Yeah.
All right, finish your comment, if you would, please.
So what I'm saying is that the issue is that of discipleship primarily, and it is easy in a way once people just take them to the epistles. The epistles were written for people to live by, but very often we don't spend time reading it, and not to preach it. Sometimes just open the Bible and read it, and then just do what it says. And then knowing to pray for God to purge your conscience from dead works. Sometimes people don't even know how to do it, but maybe sometimes we just need to simplify it a little bit more. And because people are misinformed, so using the word ignorant, being uninformed or misinformed or having some kind of distortion of what the truth is.
Mm-hmm.
All those things apply in that regard. So bringing correction to what is. Some people don't even know what fornication means. To break it, just tell them what it is. You know, sex between two people that are not married. Or adultery is somebody's married and maybe somebody's not married, or it could be two married people. And then helping them to understand that that was not God's intent, like almost just simplifying it as though it is a baby. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. We should be maturing, but sometimes what we have considered maturing is not growth. I mean, you know, because you can dance over. People have danced over things like that, and as Bishop implied, maybe we're planning to be going somewhere.
All right, but now let me implement right that. I know, Sister Cheryl, do you have anything you want to add? Because, I mean, I was kind of trying to get you in the middle of this conversation. I'm hoping Apostle comes back because I kind of know what his questioning is on this line, but I prefer he ask the question. Anything you want to add, Sister Cheryl, before we move on?
I concur with everything that was said. I also wanted to say that we would, you know, in answering that question, we see grace as, okay, if God gives me all this grace, then it's okay for me to continue to sin until I figure it out. And so they continually do it because they was like, oh, well, if I ask for forgiveness, he's going to forgive me, because that's where the grace comes in. That's how some people think. And that was the only thing that I wanted to say.
Well, and honestly speaking, unfortunately, there are folk who have that mentality. And they say it like this, oh, God will forgive me. And God will if your heart is sincere. But you know what God forgives? He heals a broken and contrite heart. They fail to hear that. When David came before God in the 51st Psalm, his cry was, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy. And I'm just using that as an example. David came to God with a broken and contrite heart. Some people in this day and age, and it's not so much that they don't understand. An apostle said it earlier. They clearly understand what it is they're doing. The problem here is they allow lust to entice them and to lure them toward the sinful act. And I don't know how much, you know, when you allow lust to lure you to the act, now you put yourself in a position of entanglement. And now you're looking to get out, and you're serious about getting out, you know? But the thing is, and I'm finding this, and I'm speaking from experience. I've been saved for 44 years. I've been preaching for 37 of those 44 years. I'm not sharing something I heard somebody say. I'm sharing portions of my life that I literally had to deal with. When I first came into ministry back in 1986 or 86, July 14th, the first 5 years of ministry for me was an absolute struggle. There was no problem with the alcohol, the cigarettes. My problem was with sex. My issue was with women, and it was an absolute struggle. And then on times when my pastor would say, you're going to preach this Sunday, I would do everything within my power to try to stay out of some woman's bed, and I would do okay. But the The wild thing about this is, and I know what you were talking about, Sister Marva, like I said, I've lived this. I get finished preaching that Sunday morning. That Sunday night, I'm in some sister's bed. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And I'm not bragging about this. This ain't nothing to brag about. The thing was, I allowed sin to grip me and hold me in that position. And for 5 years, I struggled with it. I talked to a couple of minister friends of mine, and we began to hold each other accountable. And for a short span, it looked like everything was working. But then came that one moment. That one moment. Boom. It's almost like, and I understand what Paul meant when he said in Romans chapter 7, and he talks about it. He says, the thing that I have no desire to do, I do. And the thing I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And the thing that I ought to do, I seems like I don't want to do it. He goes on to say, uh-huh. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of sin? And I don't want nobody that's listening to us today to think that you could just walk in and walk out of whatever sinful practice you got going on like you got it like that, like it's a light switch. This is not that easy. A lot of people are weak because of the very fact that they won't face the fact that they have a problem. The alcoholic won't face the fact that he drinks too much. The gambler won't face the fact that he gambles too much. And I'm not going to go too far with that because those are small, menial things. And I'm not saying that they become sinful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to call them sin because for years we were taught drinking, it's a sin. We were taught gambling, it's a sin. They actually become sinful when you put them into practice habitually with no regard. Mm-hmm. You start spending your money, your late money, your gas money, your rent money, all that kind of stuff. You're putting yourself in jeopardy. When you start going and you'd rather than pay your tithes, you'd rather go, I don't know what none of y'all drink. I can only go on what I used to do back in my day. You'd rather take your tithe money and go buy Wild Irish Rose or a 40 or whatever the case may be. It becomes sinful. My point is simply this. Paul is asking, shall we be ignorant of the fact that we have been baptized into Christ? When you first gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, you put on the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You literally clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said in that sixth chapter right there, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh. The flesh can't do what you don't provide. If you don't provide it for your flesh can't indulge in it. And that's really all that means. Any more comments?
But I think that's a part of the challenge. People don't understand how
mm-hmm.
they are giving place to the devil. Like the music
mm-hmm.
they listen to, the movies
yeah.
they watch, the conversation
uh-huh.
in terms of people that they may be around and the conversation that's taking place, or
uh-huh.
Giving way to what the world says is okay to do. And
okay.
First of all, just knowing who they are in Christ and the grace, like to know how much God really loves them, like
yes.
knowing that helps you to not want to sin. So grace is not a entry or a permission to sin.
Nope.
It ought to make us not want to sin.
I agree
really,
with you. I
just,
agree
yeah.
with you. Knowing that God, because see, think about it. Let's go back for a minute. This is where, we mentioned discipleship. This is where a lot of us need to really go back and read Old Testament. Do you not know that adultery and fornication were punishable by death under the Old Covenant?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, don't take God's grace for granted, because under the Old Covenant, you could have been stoned to death if you were caught in the act of adultery. Quick story, and I'm assuming Apostle Smith ain't make it back yet, so I figure we're going to have to finish this up, Dr. Kimmy Robinson. We ain't got but 15 minutes left. Quick story. There was a story told, and I do this with my young people because we're living in a day and time when young people think that certain four-letter words have such force and have such authority that they use it like they're drinking water. And I shared this story with them about back in the early 1500s in the city of in London, England, actually, a man and woman, if they were caught in the act of adultery, were brought to the center of town the very way they were caught. Whether his, and it's going to be a little graphic, ladies, so please don't start cringing. This is life. This happened, and it still happens today. So let's not act like this don't go on. Caught in the act of adultery, whether her dress was over the top of her head, his pants were around his ankle, the way they were caught, they were put in the brought to the center of town, and they were put in the stockade. And on top of the stockade was, it was a clasp, like a yoke. Their hands were like handcuffed inside this thing, and their neck was in this, and they were left in that position with their essentials exposed. On top of that particular stockade, the letters F-U-C-K were put up there, and it stood for unlawful carnal knowledge, or let's make it plain and simple. These were caught in the act of fornication or adultery, whatever the case may have been. And that, what I just spelled, it takes the power out of the use of that word when young people understand where the word came from and what it actually means. And in dealing with what we're dealing with here, we only got to verse 3, I believe. Is that right, Dr. Kimmy? We're only on verse 3? Dr. Kimmy?
Yeah, we're only on verse 3.
Read that verse one more time, so we're going to wrap up right here. Apostle, either his phone died or he just couldn't get back in. I'm not sure what's going on with him. Read it one more time.
Okay. We have Romans 6, chapter 3, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
No, Romans chapter 6, verse 3.
Right.
chapter 3.
It will be from the... Okay.
Huh?
You know what I meant. I said, you know what I meant. Okay.
I'm listening.
I am waiting on my Wi-Fi. Oh, geez. Come on, Wi-Fi. Come on, Wi-Fi.
All right. I'm driving. Can any of you ladies get the amplified version of Romans chapter 6, verse 3?
My Wi-Fi is acting up.
Or don't you know that all of sin, all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. That's history.
All right. Now, this is the last thing I'm going to share, put out there, and I'm going to look for comments. We were baptized into Jesus Christ, meaning we were baptized into his death. Paul made this comment to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And this is something that needs to be a confession of every believer every morning before you start your day. You've got to remind yourself, I've been down. See, oh God, all right, thank you, Holy Spirit. Let me take you back before I tell you what Romans chapter 2:20 says. Romans 12:2 tells us, commands us to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Here's how you renew your mind, through your confession. And your confession has to be faith-based and believed upon. Here is Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's just simply break that down. Paul said it right there to the Romans in that third verse of that sixth chapter. Know you not that many, those of you who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Everything that we ever went through, everything we've ever done, every sin we've ever committed engulfed Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. He carried it on that cross. It was nailed there, and it was left there. Now the choice is yours. if you choose to
you
take
have to
the
read
sin,
verse 4. That's the beauty is in verse 4. The beauty is in verse
go
4.
Go ahead.
Which helps us
read,
to know the
read
meaning
verse
that
four.
We
what
have.
Version
so
are you reading,
read
by the way? What version are you reading?
The Amplified.
The Living Translation. Is that the Amplified?
Yeah. New,
okay.
The NIV.
Okay, New International Version. All right, go ahead.
Right.
Read verse 4.
We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, in what I just shared with you in Galatians 2:20, that is evident of the fact that what used to be in your life, when you became a new creature, old things passed away. Galatians 2:20 tells you what has happened to you. And you are right. Verse 4 does go with that. I want to definitely cut it right there because I don't want to go too far because I don't know what Apostle Smith has in store for his lesson plan. So I'm not trying to overstep my bounds here. I'm just filling in for him. Keep that in mind. But you are absolutely right. But as God the Father raised Christ from the dead, we've been raised to a brand new life. And now it's time for us to put that new life into practice. The enemy doesn't want you to practice this new life. The enemy doesn't want you to have anything to do with this new life. The enemy will do all he can to keep you where you were. It's like an old boyfriend that thinks you're still his girlfriend or an old girlfriend that still thinks you're his boyfriend. And they're going to try to do everything they can to make, oh, you still mine. Oh, you still mine. No, we broke up. And see, we got to learn how to tell the devil we broke up. We ain't no item no more. I am now with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what I'm doing right here now, the life I'm now living in this physical body, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, number one, and gave himself for me, number two. Who wouldn't serve a God like that? Any comments before we close?
I guess the only other thing that I would add would be just for people to know that they do have dominion over sin and that we're dead to sin.
Yes.
And to the analogy I would create would be one of someone who is dead. Somebody's dead is nothing, but just don't feed that carnal nature. Feed your spirit man to get built
up. And that's a good close right there. We want to thank each and every one of you for joining us. This is The Voice with Apostle Vincent L. Smith. I'm Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr., sitting in for Apostle Smith. Apostle Smith will be back with you on next Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Time. By way of announcement, we do Volume of the Book International Ministries every Monday through Friday. You can join us on our prayer line as we seek the face of God and pray for the different situations and circumstances. That prayer line number is 701-801-9814 every Monday through Friday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, 701-801-9814. Convocation 27 is coming up in the month of July. Pre-services on July 18th and 19th at Morningstar, 125 Dixwell Avenue, where Apostle Michael Densmore will be there ministering during the course of the pre-service. Then the actual convocation kicks off on that Wednesday, July 20th, if I'm not mistaken. I hope I got the date right. If I don't, somebody correct it. The bottom line is we are starting off. Pastor Mashawn White, I believe, is coming on that Thursday, on Wednesday night. Dr. Brian Mosley is going to be with us, I believe, on that Thursday. And on Friday, Bishop Eric Figueroa. Let me change those around. On Thursday, Bishop Eric Figueroa will be with us on Thursday night at the 7 p.m. service. And Dr. Brian Mosley will be with us at the 7 p.m. Friday service. We do have workshops that are coming your way, as Bishop Kevin R. Richardson, the dean of the Joint College of the Bishops of African American Pentecostal Bishops, their adjutancy. He is their dean. He is coming to share the episcopacy with us and help us to understand the order that God brings to the episcopacy. We have others such as Dr. Joy Slaughter, who is Slaughter Challenger, will be in our 3 p.m. service. Dr. Greg last name, but he will be there. Just bring yourself out there and come enjoy. That will be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then on Sunday, Apostle Felicia Flight will close us out in Apostle's special day. And we're asking you to just give a special offering if you can on that given Sunday. That Saturday, there's going to be an ordination. I know I don't like talking about my own ordination, but since I have nobody to talk about it for me, on July 23rd at 12 noon, yours truly will ascend to the office of Bishop on that afternoon. The homilist is Bishop Kevin R. Richardson of the Joint College of African American Bishops, along with the Chief Consecrator, Apostle Vincent L. Smith, Bishop Willa Moody, Bishop Bomadelli Bello, and, of course, there will be others there in presence. Now, there is a flyer coming out in just a few short days, and there's an Eventbrite site that you go to RSVP if you plan on being with us and want to be part of our reception. Keep all that stuff in mind. Until next time, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, please get the music ready because it's time to get up out of here. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. Until we meet again, we'll see you next Tuesday at 10 p.m. God bless. In your hands, Dr. Kimmy.
So that I can be free. I'm not the same because of your grace. You are amazing. You are amazing. You love. look back over my life.